All Flex No Dex is an adult podcast. If you compared us to movie ratings, we'd be rated R. See episode notes for details.
Hello, and welcome back to Epi, everyone. Today we have with us Kiowa.
Hello, I'm playing Damon Reeves, your blade-singing friend who now has his own little place in the Shard Realm. It's very nice and quaint.
Nicole?
Hi, everybody. This is Nicole. I'll be playing Jinsby, the gnome mage.
Anna?
Hi, I'm going to be playing Zenazari, the dragonborn blood hunter.
And Zach?
Hey, everybody. It's your favorite little guy, Dandy.
Every little guy to kill.
Only you. Look,
is my picture stuck on a very creepy smile?
I am not looking at you, so I don't know.
I think it's handsome, but yes. Oh,
thank you. Yeah, it is what it is.
Okay, so last time we left off with the party finishing up the tense fight with the vicious goblins and a dying Dandy. Amidst the combat, Damon was seemingly sucked into the Black Shard of Tiamat. The day was won, however, and Dandy was revived. The party looted, cut up the Aboleth, and Brockney the Phyla Elemental turned everything to ash that wasn't taken by the party. The party decided to take a long rest here, identify their items, investigate the Black Shard, and converse with their new ally, Venfira. Venfira opted to not travel with them, suggesting that Dinsby find a magical way to contact her when Dinsby finds a way to destroy the shards. After such, Venfira will seek them out. Venfira chooses to take the last watch, and everyone crashes out after their respective watches. Eventually, everyone wakes up on their own to find Venfira and all of your gear gone, and replaces the unconscious Damon.
Classic rogue.
You guys are up and moving about. Damon's no longer in the shard, apparently.
Sorry, I thought you were still going. I apologize.
No, Damon's still unconscious.
Yeah,
everyone else is awake though.
Okay, sweet.
Hey, it's Damon. Go over and check him out and see if he's dead.
Roll a medicine check.
I'm not great at those, so let's see here.
He did so well trying to revive Dandy.
I know. Yeah.
Hey, I'm alive.
Not doing much better here. An 8.
Can I give an assistance on that?
Sure. Yeah. You can help help investigate Damon's corpse.
That's another 8. So 8.
I'm looking for his dragon that he supposedly had. Make sure it's okay.
The dragon's fine. The dragon didn't get sucked in. The dragon's been fluttering around with the other dragons.
Oh, neat. Then I just take care of my dragons, ignoring his existence.
Barney is there. Barney is currently pecking at Damon's face. With an 8, though, you're not sure if he's dying or if he's already dead. If he is breathing, it's very, very shallow.
Dandy will go ahead and cast healing word on him.
Okay. What's the word?
Moist.
Damon, this wakes you up in utter disgust.
I just go, moist. I had moist dreams. Just deep breaths. Upset about that being the first word that I get awoken to.
Yeah, as you should be.
You guys too. I saw the bard was down. Everything went black.
You got sucked into the shard of Tiamat.
Without my consent. That's kind of weird, but okay.
What happened? Do you remember anything?
Do I remember anything, DM?
No, it was like you were knocked unconscious. You remember nothing.
I think I got mollywopped, if I'm being honest with you guys. I think someone came up behind me and just mollywopped me. Other than that, no.
Interesting and unsettling.
It was. I had a dream and just a lot of moist dreams. I'm not a fan of the word moist. I'm sure it makes everyone uncomfortable, at least a little bit.
How old are you, Damon? Usually that happens around puberty.
The word moist?
Or no, moist dreams.
Moist. Well, it feels like the moist dreams were forced in my head, if that makes any sense. Yes. Like I said, without my consent.
Almost like someone was whispering the word moist in your ear while you're unconscious.
I don't like that.
Right. Let's move on from that.
Yes. Anyways, I'd like to leave that behind. Thank you for awakening me. I see the danger's all gone. Where'd the little rogue go? What was her name?
Venfira.
Where did Venfira go?
She disappeared into the night.
Classic. I once again say classic rogue.
And remember, you're in the Underdark, so everything's night.
Right. So what's the game? What's the game plan? Are any of the goblets still looking fancy, or are they all dead?
Well, they're dead. They're so dead.
They're all dead.
I'll never recover from that.
Damon, you do see, as you're looking around, hoping to find like at least one little half-alive goblet, you're just surrounded by ash.
By ash?
There was a full goblin settlement here with like little lean-to houses and, you know, goblin shit pots and what have you. but there's just piles of ash everywhere.
I probably look around like a little confused and then remember the giant fire elemental that was fighting with us and go, ah, yes, this checks out. So I'm glad I'm awake. I feel good. A little disturbed, but I feel good. Do we have a plan of action, you guys?
Heading back up to the surface.
Let's fucking get out of here. I hate the Underdark.
We must leave.
It's dirty.
Yes, this is a waste of my skills here.
When I was going through all that stuff from the dragon that I killed up top, like I never saw any hints of a shard or anything, right?
You didn't see any shard, no.
Cool. He didn't even mention it to me, huh?
Well, he was asleep, and then you killed him.
That's so right. No. Fuck that guy. Tia Matt looking ass bitch.
Your head is still ringing, by the way.
Oh yeah, I believe it. I feel like I've just kind of placed it on the back burner. You know what I mean? Just it hurts, but I'm trying to get used to it.
I go, this is my life now.
This is my life now. I accept this. Okay, so what do you guys want to do? Head up top? Let's go.
To start with, Nicole, roll me a d6.
Okay, 6.
All right. So you guys start trucking, you just backtracking the same way you came, and you're going up that slimy tunnel. It's still moist and damp in here and like little poles. You guys truck for maybe about an hour. You're pretty sure that you're getting towards the end of it because it was only about a mile or so of tunnel that was oozy and slimy, disgusting. Eventually, you guys see up ahead of you, there's like a scattering of items like laid out across the tunnel floor.
Like laid out like in a line?
Kind of like indiscriminately laid out. Not like laid out with any sort of purpose, kind of like it was just scattered. There's like a couple pieces of armor, like 3 or 4 pieces of armor.
Can I do a quick perception check to see if there's like a setup of some form?
You can. How close are you getting?
How far away did we see this? Because I mean, we can only see as far as our dark vision, right?
Right. And Danny can only see as far as his light allows him.
Right. Let me see. My dark vision is 60 feet, and I'm probably trucking up front. I'll move within 25 feet.
Go ahead and roll a perception check.
You know, it's I'm just too distracted with that nat one.
It's too moist in here.
It's too really moist. I'm just shuddering too much.
Yeah, this tunnel is really unsettling. You just don't like it.
I might not have even seen the items on the ground, to be honest with you.
Everyone else does. You guys do see it eventually, unless you're within a Dandy's light. Dandy, how much light does your spell permit?
They're torch-sized lights, but I have to keep them around me so everybody can see with their dark vision. My range can go out to 120 feet, but...
So that's 20 feet and then 40 feet of dim vision.
Whichever form you choose, each light sheds dim light and a 10-foot radius.
So your light's only going out 10 feet. You can't see it. You have no idea. You're going off of what they say. Everyone else, though, you guys can get closer and just get right out of Dandy's light, and you're able to see the items, too.
Seem like a setup.
These items certainly weren't here when you walked through. You would have noticed.
Considering... I saw absolutely nada. I just walk up to the items. I assume we're all good, G.
When you walk up, Damon, you do feel magical energy radiating off of each of the pieces.
How does this feel compared to my headache? Is it soothing my headache, like the magical aura? Or is it more like a just adding to it, like in a negative way, I mean?
Neither.
Neither, gotcha.
This is just like any other magical item.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You feel like the magical aura coming off of it with your passive arcana. It's not affecting your headache, your curse, one way or the other.
Gotcha. Okay. I fucking dig into those items.
Okay, so as you do, everyone else sees this.
They're all mimics.
Actually, because you guys have weapons of warning, it doesn't get a bonus attack on you or surprise attack.
You love to see it.
You walk up and you're like, hey guys, it's a bunch of magical items. Dandy and Zen's items are like, warning, warning, danger. And you guys see the moistness that's on the floor and on the walls starts to congeal and kind of like grow pseudopods and lash out at Damon.
I slip in it. I slip in the moistness.
Roll initiative, everyone.
Dear God.
Those of you that have the weapons of warning, don't you get bonuses to your initiative?
Yes, we do.
Nope.
Fun fact about initiative, I just rolled another nat one.
That tracks because you're slipping.
I slipped. I slipped right in the fucking sludge. Just too moist in here for me.
It's just...
So I got a 13.
All right.
12.
And 12.
I got a 22.
If you roll in D&D Beyond, it'll come up on my end.
Okay, cool.
All right. So that is Zenizari. You go first.
So freaking attack the wall, I guess. I don't know.
You do see it's not just on the walls. It's congealing now. There are parts of it that you can attack. It's forming like little pseudopods, like little like nub arms that are lashing out like whips and trying to envelop and smack around Damon.
Gotcha. And I will attack one of the pseudopods.
Do it.
Do it. I'm going to do it with my double-bladed scythe of death. Nat 20.
Oh my God.
That is certainly going to hit.
Yeah.
You sure?
That was a lot of dice. 17.
Nice.
You fully lop off one of the pseudopods. The oily moistness just splashes all over your scythe.
Can I real quick roll another perception check to see if I see it or if my face is covered in the moistness?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I saw it. 23.
Yeah, you definitely saw the moistness. It scatters everywhere.
Okay, at least it's not in my eyes.
And not yet. anything else then?
Yeah, and then I'll use my bonus attack to break my double-bladed scythe into one, or into two separate weapons and attack again. 18 hit. There we go. 3 damage.
3 damage. There's not much of this ooze left. It's not looking hot.
Save some for the rest of us, then. Sheesh.
Well, I mean, if your face wasn't in some ooze, you could get some of this.
He is going to get some of it because now it's attack and it's going to attack Damon.
That's fair.
Not that it's going to hit, though. 9 hit?
No. But right. If I slipped, it probably gets advantage, right? Or am I not actually on the ground?
I was going to actually put you on the ground.
Okay, cool. All right.
You slip, and when you slip, it just narrowly misses you because you slipped.
The moistness is on my side now.
Embrace the moistness. Dandy, it is your turn.
I'm still too far away from it to attack, am I?
No, you can attack.
It's within 5 feet.
Oh, with melee? You would have to use your movement, but you can use your movement to get up there.
Then that's what I'll do. I'll go ahead and I'll rush up there and stab at it with my new weapon, the rapier. With a flash of glitter.
Glitter's just getting fucking everywhere as you stab. It covers Damon too, so he has that moist, oily shit all over him, and now glitter's sticking to the oily moistness.
I kind of like it now.
I got an 11 to hit.
That hits.
For 10 points of damage.
That kills it. You basically just absorb the oiliness in glitter, and it can chill kind of like cat litter. It is dead.
Nice.
Congratulations. You killed ooze.
That's what's up.
Dandy does the flick to the side and then slides it back into its sheath.
Yeah, you splatter glitter across the wall as you do that.
Yes.
Okay, so I added in chat the shop list of the items that are there.
Dinsbeat will say, wow, thanks, guys. I didn't even have to use any of my spells. You're the greatest.
You're the greatest.
So several of the items, I'm assuming it's not going to be things that you guys can use because there's a halberd, there's some ring mail and a javelin, some chain mail, then a perforative health. If it's stuff that you guys don't want, keep in mind that you have your bags to fill up with magical items to pay off the items you're renting. So you could just scoop these and throw them in the bag to start paying stuff off.
Sounds agreeable.
That's an option for you guys.
Do I owe anything still?
Yes. Everyone owes still except for Dinsby. Dinsby bought her items outright.
Then I just throw that plus one halberd in there.
Okay.
I'll throw the javelin of warning if no one wants it in my bag.
Okay.
I'm currently looking for this item list.
Aside from those items that are on there, though, there's also a breastplate. It looks kind of like from the movie The 300. It's like that bronze kind of breastplate. It looks super nifty.
Is it like, can I tell if it's like light, medium, or heavy armor? You said breastplate?
It is a breastplate. I think it is considered medium. Can anyone cast Identify?
Yeah, I can.
So can I.
You guys want to start pumping that out as a ritual? Technically, these items need to be identified anyways. I kind of goofed on that, but you guys want to take a minute in the moistness to identify this stuff real quick? Take a look at the item called Plot Armor.
Armor.
You can access it in your inventory.
The other pieces of armor I wouldn't mind throwing into the bags to, unless anybody has issues with swimming, I'd say we use them to pay off.
Could one of you guys read aloud what the plot armor does?
This magical item identifies you as a protagonist of the narrative. The wearer lives while everyone else around them dies like flies. Half of any damage the wearer takes is spread to allies instead. This item is cursed and can only be removed with a remove curse spell.
Why do I like this armor so much?
I put it in my bag.
Good idea. Oh,
whoa.
I go, oh, it's too big for you, little guy. Don't worry about it.
Come on. You know you want to hand that over to this guy.
To this guy and the protagonist.
I like this periapt of health.
You taking that then?
No, because I'm not the only one in the party.
You're the only one that hasn't picked something, so yeah.
Everyone else was opting to use these items to pay off their debt, so anything else is free game at this point.
Where is everybody seeing the plot armor?
I have to search for it in your inventory.
It's a homebrew item, so I couldn't add it to that magic shopping list.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if everybody's already picked something, then I'll take the periapt of health.
Okay, so you scoop up the items, you bag what you want to keep, and feed to Tall Hat whatever it is that you don't want to keep, and move on. The day goes by without too much incident. You hear, like, again, weird echoes in the distance, goblin chatter, but it's likely that it's just echoing from elsewhere, because things like the echo in the Underdark.
Echo.
Right.
One goblet is just like, moist.
You do leave the moist tunnel part long behind.
Thank God.
And you guys end up doing another long rest after a day's journey.
Hey, I'll ask the party if we want to see if my deck will give me anything, because it hasn't laid an egg in 2 days. Almost.
I get ready to unsheath my sword.
Don't you dare kill my duck.
The duck is too moist for its own good.
It's too moist. It doesn't clean its asshole. What is this thing?
You guys also have your the bag of safe places too.
Oh, I would just like to let everybody know that on the trip back up, Dinsbeet has been riding his goat.
Awesome.
That's got a great little goat?
Yes.
I love it.
So this goat is one of the things that was from Tall Hat. It doesn't look like your normal goat. It has, like, around its head is, like, the poofiest and fanciest looking goat fro. And it is super soft.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'd be petting that all the time.
It looks like a shaved poodle, but it's a goat.
Protect the goat at all costs.
Yes.
Among your menagerie, you have now a goat, several tiny dragons, and an owl.
How are there several dragons now?
We've all had a dragon except for
Dinsby.
Thank you. Names. Dinsby doesn't have one.
I was going to say, you yourself pulled a white tea dragon.
Yeah, I knew I had one. I just didn't know there were several at this point.
Yeah,
I have a red one.
And I have a green one.
Well, now Dinsby needs one.
It is true.
Dinsby, you're welcome to pull from the bag.
You know Tony put like a Demi Lich or something inside that bag.
What?
And it's just waiting to get pulled out.
What's nice is I can put things back in the bag and they'll be lost forever. So
what else is in the bag that you put back in there, Dandy?
I
the only thing we put never, back in nothing. There was that zombie, wasn't it?
Silence!
There's nothing waiting in there. And then you also have the duck following you. And then there's also the box of choose fairies, but that's not active right now.
No, that's in my pocket. Freaking cool, though. I want my duck to lay an egg. So I wanted the party to know that I want to do that, but I can do that a little bit away from everyone. So you're not in immediate danger.
Zin, if it shits out anything dangerous, I'm going to kill the duck, okay?
You can't kill my duck.
If it does anything dangerous, I'm going to kill the duck, okay?
I'm going to fight you. It's my duck.
As long as the duck is slain.
You're going to have to go through my tea dragon because it's sitting there.
That's okay.
Me and my menagerie will fight you.
Right. Okay, Zen. You have the duck poop out an egg. Roll a percentage check to see what the egg does as you crack it open.
Causes okay. The apocalypse.
Hold on. My mom really just gave me a fuck ton of change.
I really hope if it's a 1 or a 100,
there we go.
It's just the apocalypse.
Finn's beat standing well back.
There's a chance to get a wand of wishes from these fucking eggs.
Huh, my hand is on the sheath.
It says 28.
So with the 28, as you crack open the egg and Damon's ready to just kill whatever comes out of the egg and the duck in one fell swoop, rope starts pouring from the broken egg. And it pools at your feet. 30 feet worth of rope.
Neat. I got rope. Neat. Stay away from my duck.
Do we hear any singing pirates at the end of those?
You do not.
Okay, thank God. I take my hand off my sheath.
Only in Damon's head. Yo-ho, yo-ho.
With a slight whisper of moist at the end.
I'll hold the duck in my lap and pet it, waiting for the bag's turn.
Oh yeah, there is still the bag. If you guys are wanting to pull from it. Otherwise, we'll move on.
I'm ready to go.
I was going to say, I'd rather get out of this place. I'm tired of being trapped in a cave. Dandy can't even see farther than 10 feet.
Yeah, Dinsbeat's fine. That's a little bit too risky for the bisky for him.
All right. Too risky for the bisques. So you guys camp out. You wake up in the next morning. Nothing really happens overnight.
Dandy's reading a terrible story.
Which story are you reading, Dandy?
Have I finished my other book?
I'm going to say at this point, yeah. It's been, you started reading when you came down here and it's been about 6 days now. You definitely finished it.
Okay. Well, now that the story of Footsie is done, we will go ahead and do, we'll just go in order of the series, which is Whips and Chains. Which starts off with a cursory introduction of whips, quickly develops into an in-depth review of chains, manacles, and other metal restraints for use in the bedroom, including a very passionate discussion on alloys designed to titillate fans of metallurgy.
And you're reading this all out loud, right?
Yes.
Right.
Our bedtime story.
Yeah, your dragon does read with you. It can't read the words, can't quite read and write, right? But it's intelligent enough to understand your words. And it likes the pretty pictures. So it's sitting on your shoulder, enwrapped in the book with you.
Wonderful.
So you guys wake up to hearing this story and prepare to move on. Dandy, roll me a d6.
Roll a d6. 3.
Three. So your day goes by, again, without much issue. You're just trucking along, trying to make quick pace out of the Underdark. Of this horrible, dark death zone. And you guys finish the day off, find another little niche, and start camping. Do you crack another egg, or do you just keep moving?
You put it right there in her face, and you're like waving a dollar in her face. Just, are you going to crack this thing?
He knows what he's doing.
Because he knows I'll keep refusing the bag.
I'll do it one more time for this trip, and then that's it. Until we get out.
This is going to change the whole concept of this game. It's going to turn into a cyberpunk game.
93.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
You crack open the egg and a small canister falls out from the egg. And written on the side of the little canister says sniffing salts.
Oh, God, no.
What you can do with this is you break the canister under the nose of an unconscious creature to revive them with one hit point.
Yep.
Awesome.
Awesome.
But what's the catch?
It's specific salt. It's not going to smell good when you do it. When they wake up, they're going to be mad.
They wake up addicted to cocaine.
You wake up to the smell of moist. Once this is used on you, you know what moist smells like.
Are you pleased? The pain in them.
Is it an actual item or do I just add it to my extras?
You add it to your extras. I don't have it written up.
Cool.
Do you pull from the bag or just go to the bed?
Go to bed. I want to get out of the Underdark before we pull from the bag. I'm tired of getting trapped down here.
Gotta get out of this place.
So I'll even settle for getting into the dragon's home. That's fine. Just out of the damn caves.
You guys go to bed. Again, you wake up to more stories of whips and chains. And keep on going. Damon, roll me a d6.
Yes. One. A lot of those today.
You proceed on through and pass through that very cavernous opening that you guys came through before, where it's just kind of that dirt land bridge that goes all over right. An empty abyss. The illuminating fungus is still on the walls and on the ceiling, but you still can't see down below you, down deep down low. But aside from your echoing footsteps, nothing accosts you. And you move on, eventually finding another camping spot and settle down for another long rest. Do you crack open another egg or are you officially waiting?
I am officially waiting.
Okay. Fine.
I'm smiling right now, but you just can't see it.
Long rest comes and goes. Dandy's on to the manacle portions now and how to use proper padding so you don't hurt the manacled person's wrists.
Keep from chafing.
Right. It's very important. And you guys pack up and start heading out. Zen, roll me another d6.
Six.
Okay.
Obviously, it's not going to be nice and easy, apparently.
No. You guys, you're fairly certain, like, you got to be getting close. You guys have been double timing it up out of here. You know, you got to be getting close to the surface. And you guys hear singing, accompanied with...
I knew it.
The smell of cooking meat and saffron. Definitely heavy aromas of saffron mixed with cooked meat.
Can I get a taste of what the sound of the song sounds like?
Yeah. That's what I'm working on.
No, from your voice.
Teren Horsad, a flickering Ardian. Engie Blue Star Emerald R, Lich Anthorin Ukliven. Ah, Shon Haragofaden, Aradin Kalawith. Now Gritha Katharol, Fisana Worsh by Ashen.
Did you just put a voice modifier on?
I did.
That was just fantastic.
Oh my god. You can see my chagrin the whole time that it was there.
Oh man.
Do I recognize the language?
Yes, you do. You specifically, it is gnome. It's that weird gnome dialect that you encountered earlier with Flazenzo.
Oh, does it sound like Flazenzo?
It definitely does. To elaborate a little more on the sense too, I wrote it down, but I forgot where I put it. The smell that you're smelling, the smelly smell, along with the singing, it's the scent of cooked meat and a strong, leathery and earthy smell with sweet and woody tones that are filling the cavern around you.
Hmm.
Dinsmeet will call out to Flazenzo. Like, hey, Flazenzo, it's Dinsmeet again.
There is no reply, and he continues singing.
Huh.
It sounds like he's raptured in what he's doing.
Is he still out of sight?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are still, you're down the tunnel, because things do echo a bit.
Mm. Okay, we'll just have to wait until we get closer, I guess.
Okay, so you understand. Does anyone else speak gnome?
No.
Trying to look. No, I do not.
Dinsmeet will tell everybody it's just Flazenzo singing.
Should we scare him?
No.
Okay.
Andy will go ahead and fuck out his instrument and try to play a tune to match his singing.
Guys, who the fuck's Flazenzo?
They did mention Flazenzo earlier. I would say...
Okay, they did mention him to me?
I would assume at least Dinsby told you who Flazenzo is.
Okay, sweet. I'm so excited to meet him is what I meant to say.
This is a 17.
Yeah, so you start pitting out a tune. It doesn't seem like he notices still. And the singing continues.
Kakatha, I am Ro, singing R to the three, then built he, Argun, deck his gi, never end my knee. I live in R, Afagi, and dig Nafat.
I send Barney up to see if there's any funny business going on.
So Barney flies up and sees, are you doing the direct eye line?
Yeah.
Okay, so you put your hand on Zen's shoulder and keep contact with Zen as you're walking because you can't see when you're doing that. Barney flies up and sees that the place is a little more chaotic looking than when you originally left it. So Barney, flying up there, he sees that the deep dragon that you left behind is fully dressed and flayed, as in, like, you know, has been skinned and opened up like hunters do.
Uh-huh.
And the barrels of cloves and ginger and salt are all opened, and seasonings are scattered about like a messy chaos cook has been at work. He will also see that one of the hogsheads have been tapped, and a little pool of water is under it. And Flazenzo is there at that little old haveling stove that's in the corner of the room, and he's singing while he's just cooking away.
Well, it looks safe, folks. And I push on into the room. Preferably not first, because I assume they told me about his...
Gresham.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Jin's beat will go first.
Please.
You truck on up there. He's still singing.
There's no door or anything, right? And just walk into the room.
Correct.
Okay. Walk in and call to him again. Flazenzo.
Oh god.
He turns around and throws a shoe at you guys. that hits. The shoe comes flying Damon.
I knew it.
Yeah. Dice Christ does not like you. That's a 12 to hit.
It misses.
Okay, so it sails past your head.
Can I try to catch it?
Yeah, sure. Roll me an acrobatics check.
That's a natural 20.
You definitely catch the shoe easily.
None of you know what this is, but I Odell Beckham Jr. catch it just far over my shoulder. If anyone listens to this who watches sports, you know.
Yeah, that sounds sportsy.
you know the catch.
And Dinsbeat will hold up his hands and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, Flazenzo, it's us."
He looks worried. You can tell he registers who you are, but he has never met Damon.
I'll be talking to him in Gnomish.
Oh, for sure, because he doesn't speak anything else.
Right.
He'll ask you, Dinsbeat, while looking you dead in the eyes.
Who's the pale elf?
Oh, he's our friend, Damon.
Damon.
I hear him say my name. I'm like, yes, here, I've got your shoe. And I kind of roll it at his feet.
You all notice, too, that he was kind of like inching towards his axe that's leaning right next to the fire pit, too. Like he was about to charge you with his axe if he didn't like the answer. You roll a shoe, and while still locking eyes with you, he snatches it off the ground and kind of glowers.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to do this, but I kind of want to whisper to my dragon that everybody needs to calm down. I want him to cast Calm Emotions on, what's his name again?
Flazenzo.
And which dragon did you have?
The green dragon, Blitzkin.
So does he have to make a save if it's willing?
The dragon can innately cast Calm Emotions, spell save DC 12 on one target creature within range, requiring no verbal components.
Right, but does the actual spell, though, does it automatically calm emotions if he accepts it?
Oh, let me check. I didn't have that pulled up, so.
I'm pretty sure as long as he's not resisting it, it'll just happen.
You attempt to suppress strong emotions in a group of people, each humanoid in 20-foot radius. A creature can choose to fail the saving throw if it wishes. If a creature fails its saving throw, choose one of the following two effects.
You whisper that to your dragon. Have your dragon roll me a persuasion check as he flies over to Flazenzo, and Flazenzo growls at him, and your dragon kind of like lowers its head like a dog being submissive, and it's like, like scooting up to him to like want to give him cuddles.
Okay. That is a 18.
Flazenzo's heart immediately melts and allows the dragon to come scurry on top of him and willingly fails. Your dragon calms him down.
Nice.
Seeing this, can I get down on one knee and kind of like stick out my arm for like a predator handshake with this little guy?
Yeah. Roll me a persuasion check.
Sure. I've been rolling nothing but great today, right? Hey, okay. You know, that wasn't too bad. Hold up. 23.
Flazenzo rolled a natural 20 on his insight. He knows exactly what you're doing. Flazenzo gets a little tear in his eye for the amount of respect. Dinsby, you remember him telling you about how he was more or less ostracized just because of the violent tendencies that had happened before in his past life. Probably hasn't gotten this much positive energy in a very long time. So Flazenzo like happily walks up with the dragon on his shoulder and you guys flipped him from a good mood to a hostile mood to back to good mood again. And he claps your hand and predator handshakes you.
I shed a tear.
Flazenzo likes this one.
See, he's our friend.
I spend the next 2 years teaching him common. If we could just fast forward 2 years.
The next 2 years, you guys just hang out here and just hang on to the team at Shard. It's fine. Nothing bad.
Make a tavern out of make a tavern out of this home.
Make a tavern right. out of this home. This is when my true character of turning into Escanor truly comes to light. Owning the tavern in the mountain.
Otherwise, you guys see in the room, aside from what I explained earlier, is the deep dragon looks to be fully dressed and flayed. Barrels of cloves, ginger, and salt are opened, and seasonings are all over the place. And one of the hogsheads has been tapped with a little pool of water under it. Aside from that, there's four mining carts full of iron, gold, and silver. They're pushed against one of the walls, and a magical whetstone, and two hogheads on the other side of the Havlin home. And when I say hogheads, those are the barrels. They're barrels of fresh, clean water.
Is there any of the powder left that the dragon was snorting?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't powder. It was saffron.
Ah, yes, that.
No. The reason why you smell that leathery and woody kind of smell is because he's been snorting and huffing and eating it for so long that it's saturated to the meat in his skin. As Flazenzo's been cooking it, it's kind of like the meat's been marinated.
Okay.
Flazenzo was making use of the meat that's still good here. Do you want some dragon meat? It's a delicacy for my home.
Is he saying this just to Dinsby, obviously, because no one else understands him, right?
Dinsby's actively translating.
Gotcha. He's saying it to all of you, but Dinsby's the only one that understands. But
okay, if you're translating, I happily take some of that meat.
It does taste delicious.
And then a little ping goes off in my head, and I pull out my voucher and ask if he knows anyone by the name of Greg.
Greg? Who's Greg? What is Greg?
He owes me something.
Do you want to redeem that?
Wait, what do you mean? I can redeem it here?
Well, that's that. Yeah, you could.
I think it's magic.
It is magic.
Oh, I've been looking for someone named Greg when I was in the Black Crystal. I was just searching. Yeah, I'll try to redeem it.
Okay, so you redeem it, and a little piece of paper just kind of ignites and burns away, and this incredibly old and frail looking man that's completely naked appears before you, and he has a long gray beard that's long enough to where it wraps down around his crotch, kind of like one of those sumo wrappings.
Right.
And he goes, "Oh, you wanted the ice cream?"
I just, "Father?"
"No."
Oh, yeah. ice cream. Are you Greg?
I am. But you took too long. And he opens his hand and kind of moves his hand out to you to like hand it to you, but it's just a melted mess of what was an ice cream.
I say, just like I would say to my kid, "Oh, no, thank you."
"All right, suit yourself." And lifts his hand up and kind of drinks it out of his hand. And as he does, he just turns to mist and fades away.
Oh, God, I hate it. Oh, thank you so much, Nia.
I will have some of the dragon meat and ask where the corpse is.
Of the dragon?
Yeah.
It's right there in front of you.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm going to rip the teeth out of it.
You have deep dragon teeth.
Ooh.
So as you guys are eating and conversing, eventually kind of Lazenzo kind of looks around and he says,
Lazenzo likes this room. The surface bird paintings are nice. Lazenzo likes them.
He mentions the surface bird paintings, and you're not sure what he's talking about, because there's only three paintings hanging in this room. Two are depictions of Tiamat rising out of like this crevasse, causing mayhem. And one is specifically a massive red dragon being opposed by a lone humanoid figure.
My boy. Didn't I notice these paintings when I came in?
You did, and you thought they were kind of weird, but you didn't notice anything.
Can I inspect them again?
Sure. Does everyone?
Sorry, what was that?
Does everyone go and inspect the paintings and check them out, see what Flazenzo is talking about?
Sure.
Yes.
Just chilling, eating a piece of dragon meat.
Okay. Are your little dragons looking at you like you kind of betrayed them? This is kind of cannibalism.
I gave some to him. He liked it.
Damn,
I was going to say, I don't think dragons really care that much.
They're all about themselves.
It depends.
I remember that.
Your little dragons will actively not eat the meat.
Okay. Well,
they choose bugs.
So whoever's investigating the paintings, roll me an investigation check.
Yeah, I rolled a nat 20.
Boy.
I literally rolled two nat 1s and two nat 20s already.
I got an 18.
Dinsby got a 5.
All three paintings are really well done. You have the two depictions of Tiamat rising and destroying the land, and they're two different scenarios. One's like Tiamat rising over the grasslands and causing everything to be on fire, and there's wisps of smoke and fire, kind of like an artistic filler around each of the pictures. Then there's that last one. That's the massive red dragon that's being opposed by the lone humanoid figure. And again, that one also has smoke and fire and wisps of mist as filler around the picture. But Damon, you can't help but notice that the lone humanoid figure very much resembles the stature of your master.
Fucking knew it.
And Damon and Dandy both, you guys notice inside those wisps and of smoke in each of the paintings, it looks like the smoke's kind of forming angry-looking geese in each of them, almost like purposely hidden in the paintings.
What? Okay, so can... Dear God. Does this seem like almost like these are depicting possible futures or things that have happened already, or...
You couldn't know.
Right, yeah.
Not to your knowledge, you never heard of an event of Tiamat rising before. There's obviously stories that are told to children about Tiamat rising and destroying the landscape. And that's what you're assuming this is depicting.
Right.
Is what could potentially happen if Tiamat does rise. But you don't have any knowledge of if this is a past event or future event. You don't partake in the divination magics. This isn't your realm of expertise.
Well, with Flazenzo's blessing, I take that poster with my master.
It is large.
I roll that shit up and I fold it if need be, like you'd fold the American flag, and I put it in my bag of holding.
You ask for Flazenzo's blessing and he says,
this isn't Flazenzo's home. This is just where Flazenzo was stopping. Flazenzo wouldn't mind this being his home. Looked like someone was already living here though.
You're eating him? Oh, well, I can't understand.
I tell him, I say, you know, I thank you, Flazenzo. Maybe this can be your home. This is a nice place. I was like, maybe you need some company. And I take my little white tea dragon and I give it to him and say, maybe you need a new little buddy.
I'm enraged.
I don't even notice him.
When are you not enraged, then?
He's a ball of anger.
Might as well start taking classes in Barbarian.
With him handing him the white dragon, Blitzkin will hop off so that way the dragon has a place to sit.
Yes. Flazenzo. The two dragons swap places. Damon, what was the white dragon's name?
I don't remember, but if I had to immediately come up with a name off the top of my head, I would say Marble.
That's certainly not his name, because that name was given to us by our patron, Raven.
Oh, you mean just my piece of shit brother?
Yeah, you know, the guy that's giving us money.
He's my younger brother, so I have all override over him.
So, Raven, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, you've been overridden. I still appreciate your business, though. Thank you for listening.
We all apologize.
So the newly dubbed Marvel goes and flies onto Flazenzo's shoulder, and Flazenzo immediately loves him. So you guys eat and be merry and look confused at the paintings of geese and Tiamat. And I assume you take a long rest here and end your day.
Dandy will go ahead and do repairs on like the front door and everything for Flazenzo as well. He can cast Mending at will. So that way it's actually livable in here.
I can't cast Mending, but I take my jacket off, fold it nicely in the corner, and I just get to fixing up cracks and, you know, with my hands.
The old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way. Find me a nice sturdy hammer and some nails.
All right. So you guys have your long rest. Morning comes. You finally are able to see the sun after almost 2 weeks in the Underdark.
It burns.
What are your guys' plans from here?
Right.
Aren't we traveling somewhere?
The next step is to go find another shard.
Yeah, we need to follow another lead for one of the other shards.
I mean, should we ask the chess table? Table? Chess kit?
Chess set.
Set. Set of kits. Or do you have to do that? Can we say we did that on our last rest?
You can do it now if you want.
I challenge you once again, Zin.
Alrighty, and I take out my set, and my little tea dragon's helping me set it up.
If I win, I get another dragon from you.
They don't come from me.
No, yours, your personal collection.
I have one dragon.
He wants your dragon.
No.
Oh, okay, that's fair. We'll play for shits and gigs then.
All right, so roll an intelligence check. Zen, you get proficiency.
I got a 14.
I got a 22.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, so Zen handily beats you. You don't quite know all the little tricks of the game yet, whereas Zen knows them like the back of her hand.
I still don't really know what the pieces do. I just know they move around.
You just move them randomly in different spots. All right, Zen. What would be your question?
My question would be, where shall we head to find the next shard we seek? I don't know why I'm making it sound all mystery-like.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a mystery answer, so.
you get a familiar voice in your head, and it's that the male Havling voice from when the first time you used your chess set. He goes, oh boy. Oh, you again. Okay. Hold on. Let's see. The mountains, maybe? I don't know. Travel 6 days west of here? Find the mining operation there. Good luck!
Love the optimism. Thank you.
With that, we will end tonight's episode.
Oh, shit.
Golf claps. I hope Flazenzo lives such a good life.
Yeah, nothing possibly will happen to him. He's fine here. It's a safe place.
No, he's a good NPC. You know what I mean? Like, if for some reason, like, the god of the world, like, were to take him out, it wouldn't make any sense, you know?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. It's almost like he's protected.
Sounds like he's protected.
Lorenzo, thanks you for staying tuned and listening to episode 7. We all appreciate you for sticking around to the end of the episode. And please follow us on your various social medias, rate us, review us, and stay tuned for the next epi coming out April 13th. Voices you heard tonight were as follows. Damon was by Kiowa Chad Walworth, Dinsbeat by Nicole, Zenazari by Hannah, Dandy Lion by Zachary Spangler, and our DM running the show was Tony Spangler.